My uncle's home had a forest nearby. He loved all the animals, so he left his supper scraps outside. It was his generous intent to feed every stray that crawled, walked, or flew his way. While visiting my uncle one cool autumn night, through the kitchen window, my eyes did alight. Upon those supper scraps in the pan outside, I saw such a sight. It was terrifying as the moon climbed high in the sky on that cold, clear night. The small woodland creatures would not have their meal. It was a Sasquatch I saw, gobbling it down with such zeal. I bolted the door and my camera I fetched. A photo I must have of this giant wretch. Back into the woods, the Sasquatch loped with big feet and left me wondering how long a Bigfoot had been coming to my uncle's to eat. He left a stench in the air, horrid and foul. And as a hairy giant disappeared in the woods, I heard an odd howl. Brought to you by WKTV, I'm Wayne Thomas. Welcome to another Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast.
I'm Brandon Jose from Kent County Paranormal. Thank you for joining our forum in search of paranormal possibilities.
I'm Kim Colleen. Please keep an open mind about things you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious, right?
The mysterious. That's what this show is all about. We search out the mysterious. I think we found a good one this
week. Yeah, we did.
We've been anticipating this show, mm-hmm. right? We'd like to start out with thanking people. And at the controls tonight is Maddie. So we appreciate her help. I also would like to thank people here at WKTV. Mm-hmm. Kelly that runs the show. There's Tom, there's Nate, there's Joanne. And also Matt Zuby, who worked with us before. Mm-hmm. We were all honored last Saturday. They had a dinner for people who volunteer their services. That's how this station runs, by volunteers. So our 19 shows were recognized and honored. I got me this cool t-shirt.
Cool.
And as long as we're thanking people, I'd like to thank our featured guest, Phil Shaw, who drove all the way across the state of Michigan to be here with us. We filled the studio with hairy bipeds, as many as we could find, but Sasquatch is a very elusive creature.
True,
very true. So, with no further ado, Phil Shaw.
Welcome.
How you doing? Nice to be here. Always love to talk about Bigfoot, so I'm good.
All right. Maybe you could start with your first incident that you had.
Okay.
Or how long you've been researching.
Well, actually, in spring of 2006, my wife and I were going east, the Maritime Provinces, and we were going through New Brunswick, and there was an opening in the trees. We're on a four-lane highway, and there was somebody walking between the blocks of trees. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see a hat, a white face. We didn't see the normal Canadian plaid shirt or blue jeans, and we both agreed we'd seen Bigfoot.
Oh, my God.
And we went home and told our three sons that we'd seen a Bigfoot, and they said, you must have seen a Bigfoot because you never agree on anything else.
Yeah, I know. So it had to be true, right?
It had to be true.
Oh, brother.
But then that fall, there was an ad in the Detroit Free Press that they were going to have an expedition in UP by Marquette, and I took two sons and a brother up there, and we did the thing, and it was fun.
Yep.
Didn't know it, but my sons did a mockumentary called the Shaw Bigfoot Project, and it's funny. It's, you know, it's a mockumentary.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I started studying Bigfoot then, and then a year or so later started collecting stories.
Okay.
But that video, it was a good end.
Yeah.
You got to keep it light.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yep. So I end up doing conferences and programs, and people tell me their stories. I'm up to 120 incidents just around West Branch.
Now, where is only... West Branch? I'm not
West
familiar.
West Branch is about there.
Okay.
About there.
Then you always that be helps. Helpful, Michigan.
Well, that helps. Yeah.
We're about 50 miles north of Bay City, Saginaw, right up I-75.
Okay. Does that seem to be like a hot spot for Sasquatch sightings?
I don't think it's a hot spot. You know, it's a combination. You got to have the habitat, and I think much of, particularly lower Michigan and the UP, is great habitat.
Right.
Could be as good as anything in the world. But you also got to have people seeing them and reporting them. And if you don't, you know, if people don't have a place to go.
Right.
If they're not aware of a place, you know, I actually was with the BFRO temporarily, but you got to have somebody listening.
BFRO, Bigfoot Research Organization. Okay, I could have guessed that.
Probably it was started.
Started
in 1995 by Matt Moneymaker, who put on the show or started the Finding Bigfoot series, you know, about 8 or 9 years. It was on Animal Planet,
Animal Planet. It's done now.
It's done okay. now. But we had Cliff Brackman to our conferences twice.
Cool.
So it's been fun.
I want to spend more time on the habitat because Michigan, this podcast goes all over the world and people don't realize Michigan. Right. We're really... almost like two states, the Upper Peninsula and the Lower Peninsula are like night and day.
Right. Well, upper, lower, all over Michigan, we got lakes, we got swamps, we got forests.
Yeah, I want to go over that. We have three national forests.
Right.
We have six state forests. We have the largest state forest system in the nation.
Sure.
We have 19 plus million acres in forests.
Right.
It's considered timberland. 53% of Michigan is forest. And we're never more than 6 miles from water between the rivers, the streams, the inland lakes, and the four Great Lakes that surround us. So when you talk about prime real estate for Sasquatch, this is it. The dense forests, the swamps, the vast farmlands, plenty of fresh water.
Minnesota brags about their 10,000 lakes. We got 11,000 lakes.
Oh, do we?
I didn't even know that.
And we have the longest coastline next to Alaska.
Okay.
Because we're next to four of the Great Lakes.
Sure.
So we just got swamp, and I think they're swamp creatures.
Based on your research, do you feel like there's more sightings in the UP versus the Lower Peninsula?
You know,
what's the percentage of sightings upper-lower?
Again, you got less people up there.
True.
And the more remote it is, the harder it is for people to see them because they're not there.
True.
In fact, last summer, my wife and I flew into... Northern California, rented a car and went up along the Oregon coast. So we saw the mountains. And then in the fall, we went to North Carolina. You know, mountains are beautiful, but they are inaccessible.
Yeah.
You know,
something could be up there and nobody
would
ever
know. It's hard to get
up
there, and you get up there, you could fall off real easy.
Right.
Swamps aren't so bad.
I don't know. Swamps can be bad.
You can get the problem is most people don't want to get their feet wet.
Yeah.
True.
You don't go, you know, if you got more than 6 inches of water, most people, I'm going to get my feet wet. I'm getting out of here.
Unless you're going into a swamp because you don't want to get covered in leeches. Going
Bingo.
Yeah, it's not very hospitable. Thick stuff,
Phil, have you ever got lost in the woods?
I never really. I've always been good with a compass, but I got a handheld GPS, and that's just amazing.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's cheating.
Those are amazing, you know. I can be out half a mile from the truck, plug that thing, you know, my truck's that way.
Wow.
And then I use a compass. Don't use the batteries, but they're amazing.
Yeah, you also hunt like small game. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, I went to my brother's. Yes, I took my grandson, and you know, farmland that hasn't been farmed for 30 years. The brambles, I won't go there again. It's too thick. You can't walk through it. The brambles.
Right.
Well, I got a scratch on my.
They stick to your clothes.
Stick to your clothes. They stab you.
Yeah, I know.
And they rip you.
They're bad.
You need a dog, which we didn't have, but. You can't physically walk through these bramble patches grown up so bad.
Sure.
It's not too bad for deer hunting. He's got a big blind and stuff, but it's just not hospitable the rabbits are probably there, although I do believe Michigan is, like a lot of areas, got a lot of coyotes today, and some bobcats eat all the small game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't have snow right now in Michigan because we've had a lot of warm weather.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy to track.
You should see our yard. We live on the north side of a terminal moraine. My grandkids up over the weekend. The snowbanks are 7-8 feet.
Oh, wow.
But we're on the north side of a moraine, so the sun don't get to it. And okay. We also got 75-foot pine trees, so, you know, the sun just don't get it.
Yeah.
But just going into West Branch, the farm fields are all clear.
Sure, sure.
But, now, I think it probably depends on what reference you're reading, but I found that Michigan, they had it as fourth for the most sightings in the nation. Is that what your research or you found?
I don't know. Let's see. You got Washington State, number Oregon, one. California. Ohio's big, you know. But if you take the eastern 100 miles and the southern 100 miles of Ohio, that's part of Appalachia.
Yeah, it's I think rough, Pennsylvania might have been on
Pennsylvania,
that top up
it's
there,
rougher
too.
Country than anything in Michigan. Maybe the porcupine should be approach it. But, you know, but you got a lot of people. Ohio's got a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, Columbus, Cleveland, Toledo, all that stuff is, there's just a lot of people, and it's fairly accessible.
Sure.
Yeah.
We don't have the Rocky Mountains in this region, but there is some mountain range up through New York State also.
Yep. Yeah.
Anacondacks.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah.
So, and there's been, they do little conventions and stuff where they have the contest for the hollering.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
That'd be pretty interesting, I think. Yeah.
I have some more on tape if you want to hear some more of those.
Where did you get that?
Well, the one that I played in the poem in our reference, that was from Bobo.
Oh, yeah.
Bobo is one of the big Bobo phases.
Yeah, he's one. He's worked a lot with Cliff Brackman. Cliff is more scholastic. And Bobo is more of a coffee shop guy. But he's funny. I've heard him. I've been to the Ohio Bigfoot Conference four times maybe. And that's probably the biggest Bigfoot conference in the world.
Okay.
And that's, you know, directly east of Columbus, about an hour and a half.
Now, do people, when they go to these conferences, do they bring evidence like hair samples? Do people actually find this kind of stuff?
There's a lot of vendors selling footprints and stuff, but you know, a lot of them have had experiences, and a lot of them are just think it's fun to look and listen.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Like our conference, we got some really good speakers coming.
I see that.
In April, yep.
So, what are the statistics of your typical Sasquatch? If I was going to go up north. Family and I are going to go to Traverse City, let's say. We're going to do some hiking in the woods. What am I looking for? Can I actually look in the woods and be like, okay, this tree has certain rub marks, or I'm looking for, you know, are there signs?
The evidence.
Is there evidence that could be left behind that I could look around and say, okay, I'm on the trail of one, or there's one nearby, or... What am I looking for?
First of all, the odds of finding evidence of Bigfoot is very small.
Right.
They do leave. I've only found about a dozen structures in 12 years, which would be trees stacked, you know, that probably aren't kids making a teepee or a hunter blind. They don't make them that often. People ask me why they make them, and I say, I haven't talked to one lately. When I do, I'll tell you. But
are you talking in like sticks that are up in a teepee position? Feel like those are the homes? Like,
no.
Oh.
My thinking is those are strictly a signpost for them. I think they're just saying, we're here.
Okay.
And you dummies don't believe it.
Okay.
I don't think they don't need a shelter. They got hair 4 inches long, 4 or 5 inches long.
Right.
They're... the only time of year they even need shelter is the winter time.
Right.
And I'm to the conclusion that they go underground.
Yeah, there's plenty of caves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's caves.
Or dig holes in the under the water, you know. I read a book from Europe, the European Wild Man, and whoever wrote that book thought that they actually go into the big rivers and go in undercuts, dig holes, which the Grand River, Muskegon River, Osaba River, I get a lot of reports along the rivers. But to go out and actually look and see a Bigfoot, the odds are so small.
Right.
It's like a little bit like hitting a lottery.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because I'm convinced that 99% of your sightings are accidental. They have bad ears just like we do.
And Bigfoots have bad ears?
They don't have any better ears than we do. They're almost human.
Sure,
and if you're in the woods and you got a lot of wind blowing, you can't hear.
Yeah.
And if you're
so they can't hear us, we can't hear them, and you could and just and step
a,
upon
if
one.
If a human is walking and being quiet, and you accidentally find one preoccupied, digging a root,
doing something.
Yeah.
You might smell it before you see it.
That's a possibility. Yes.
That was in the poem, too.
If you're downwind. Okay. But they got to be downwind. You know, if they're upwind.
Well, they might smell you before you smell them.
I think they got bad noses, too.
Oh, really?
I don't think they got any better noses than we do.
Okay.
The reason I say that is I think they are so close to human.
True.
They have, you know, okay hearing, but they're not like a dog that's got an ears like this.
Yeah.
They don't have a dog nose. They don't smell that. I mean, they're very similar to human.
Yeah. Well, I want to read this list of evidence that people present. Well, you've already refuted some of this stuff, so that's good. The nest of twisted woven branches, you kind of refuted that. But also the musty, moldy smell, thousands of photos, footprints, castings, handprints, hand castings, body impressions, scat, hair, and then what about DNA? Has there been any DNA?
Oh, good question.
There's a group in Texas. They call them Ketchum Genome Project. It was between 5 and 10 years ago, there was a group of them. They collected 111 samples of hair and blood. And that's where somebody had seen a Bigfoot leaning by a tree or walking over a fence. And they sent that 111 samples to about 10 or 12 labs that could do DNA testing. The not surprising, about a third of the samples come back squirrel, raccoon.
Mm.
But the other two-thirds came back, the female genome was 100% human. The male genome come back unknown primate. My conclusion of this, and what I tell everybody, is everybody knows women are smarter than men, and most women think their husbands are unknown primates. So so basically, you got hairy men out there. Very smart, hairy men.
That are called Sasquatches.
That are called Sasquatches. They're bigger. In fact, I connect it to the Bible even. You know, some people, you know, the Esau and the Edomites, spitting image of Bigfoot. He was all hair. And then he married into the Edomites, who probably were cannibals and giants. And the Bigfoots are giants.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, because my daughter, when she was younger, was into Bigfoot research.
Yeah.
You know, she's 14 now, but when she was like 8 or 9 years old, she absolutely gaga about Bigfoot.
Right, right.
So we had got this Bigfoot research kit on a vacation trip one time. So this just, I don't know if you can see this, but this goes to show you, this says deer, black bear, gorilla, human, adolescent Bigfoot, adult female, and adult male. So this gives you an idea, and this would be on the small side.
Yeah, right. It's showing 16 inches.
It's showing 16.
And I think the male Bigfoot is probably average more like 18.
Yeah. So see where the toes are way up here and so forth.
But the females.
This is on the small side.
Sure.
So just to give you a reference point.
But they have juveniles that will have smaller feet, human-sized feet, babies.
Right.
Yeah, they're just humans with a... growing up, but there's been family units being seen.
My research says 800 pounds, 8 feet, but maybe up to 1,000 pounds for Bigfoot.
It really depends on whether you believe the theory that the Gigantopithecus that came from China came over the land bridge, Alaska. They think that happened supposedly along with the American Indians, maybe. And the Gigantopithecus, from what I read, they figure was between 10 and 15 foot tall and weighed between 1,000 and 1,500 pounds. And when you find footprints that are 22 to 24 inches, they are a big animal.
All right.
I would bet they're bigger than 8 foot.
As long as they're on feet.
Yeah.
The Bigfoot has a joint in the bottom of its foot.
Right.
Not unlike people.
Right.
So it walks different because it has, it's jointed in the middle of its foot here.
Much like apes. Apes have a joint in the middle of the foot.
Let's talk about the some of the other hairy bipeds we have here and why that can't be confused. Because you have the prints on here of bear and stuff.
Yeah.
And the different sizes, why they can't be confused. The black bear only weighs up to 400 pounds, about 5 feet. The biggest ever was a Russian bear, 1,100 pounds, but that's not average. A gorilla, 350 pounds. We have a gorilla somewhere. Oh, right here is a gorilla, I guess.
And then kind of sort of.
The grizzlies now can be 600. They can be 6.5 feet. The biggest, 1,600. And the polar bear is right up there with the grizzly, 990 pounds, 9 feet. So
I think there's characteristics. If you compare bears and Bigfoot, they're so dramatic. A big Bigfoot will have shoulders this wide. Bears don't have shoulders.
Yeah.
A bear has a nose this big.
Yeah.
Bigfoot has no nose. They have a nose like you and I do.
Right.
They don't have a tail like this.
They don't have a tail.
They don't have any tail at all, no. Right?
the nose, the ears. Most bears have upright ears.
Right.
Bigfoot, you can't see the ears. The hair's
too hairy.
Like your hair's covered.
And they would
ears.
Have a big beard hanging down.
Maybe.
Males and females, I would imagine. Would
I
have
don't
both
know.
Beards?
I don't. I've never heard that females do. I have heard some males will have a beard.
The big beards.
Yeah. But I think it's the and the fact that a Bigfoot is a very big animal.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3-4 times bigger than your average bear, and mostly bears run on all fours. The interesting fact, though, is that people don't realize that Bigfoot often run on all fours, like apes.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know.
Because, see, they got the big shoulders, they got the arms, the hands that reach the knees, and they can go from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive in a quick. One of my favorite books was written by, it's called The Historical Bigfoot, written by a Chad Armett out of Ohio. He collected stories from the 1800s when this country was being settled by the Europeans, and in newspaper articles. Mm-hmm. And in 50% of the cases, the wild man that the people were seeing was both bipedal and quadruped.
Okay.
And they could go from one to the other. And when you think about it, you know, you go from 8 to 10 foot tall to 4 foot. So your profile is hugely different. A lot of the swamp grass, the ferns,
is about that tall.
Mm-hmm. You can hide so well if you're 4 foot tall, but if you're 10 foot tall,
right,
it's a little harder.
And you're gonna blend in a lot more too, because if you're going like that, you're more likely to. If you're just getting a glancing brush, you're gonna think it's a bear,
yeah,
or something.
Totally,
rather than a Bigfoot,
yeah, yeah. You know? I think there's many cases where people think they're seeing a bear and they're actually seeing a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you
don't
said
they get a lot of casts too of like knuckle prints and stuff like that.
Knuckle prints, funny? they're going on the knuckles. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You said the term wild man in the Ojibwa, I believe that's what translates.
Well,
the Indian tribe from Grand Rapids, also called Chippewas.
Yeah.
I believe it's wild man.
Sure.
There's a lot of different names that you had in your reports.
Just looking at my chart here, the worldwide Bigfoot history, every indigenous tribe around the world has a different name. They all had different languages.
Let's go over some of these names, because Ohio has the Ohio Grassman, Florida has the Skunk Ape.
Right.
There's the Himalayan Yeti.
Right.
Or the...
He's behind you, I think.
Abdominal,
right?
Snowman.
Right. The Yeti.
Then the Chinese wild man.
Urine.
This thing is... The Chinese wild man right here. And then the Aztecs had a name for Sasquatch also.
Oh.
Right. This is all from your research that I've read from your stuff online. Nunumic. And then there is the Kentucky Bearilla.
Wayne, turn your wild thing off.
That sounded wrong.
That's the Bearilla is actually, I think, more of a dog man type creature from the descriptions.
Yeah.
What do you, as we hit on that, what do you think of dog man reports?
You know, people see them. Houghton Lake, a lady I talked to thought she saw maybe a dog man. Mm-hmm. You know, if I believe in Bigfoot, I guess it doesn't take too much more.
Right.
I believe in other
There's
things.
There's a lot of reports.
And other things, yeah. I'm inclined to think that the Bigfoot is closely related to human and is more likely to happen where to transfer from a dog to a biped gets a little sketchy to me. So I don't even attempt to collect stories for the dog man. I'm almost entirely Bigfoot.
Right. I've heard Bigfoot described as shy, but yet curious.
Yeah.
Looking through people's windows.
Sure.
They see them.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's a curious creature.
They really are. I think a lot of animals are curious, and Bigfoot, they watch TV with you if you'd let them.
You think they like music?
Love music. I just finished a book called Bigfoot. It's by a doctor of psychology from Oregon, Dr. Matthew Johnson. And his research technique is actually setting in the wild, without lights, play music.
And that's supposed to attract.
Either live or MP3.
Yep.
And they just love music. I don't think they like rock music.
Yeah, I was going to say rock music.
It needs to be smooth.
Right.
Flute, you know, particularly flute, Indian type of music. No, he seems to think that's the best way to draw them in. Lights actually, fire, it really ruins a human's night vision, but you're less likely to see the Bigfoot too.
Okay.
Because it ruins your eyesight when you got a fire.
So you should just really just be sitting in the dark.
Sitting in the dark and talk and laugh and play music, you know, just sit there and be brave.
Because you'll hear a lot of things out there that your mind's going to play tricks on you and be like, that's a Bigfoot.
He actually sleeps under the stars with no tent, which I got to try. I've never done it, but it really intrigues me. You know, they put on a lot of mosquito dope and a head net. But, you know, a tent gets in your way. You can't see them,
right.
You know.
And,
I wonder what you've heard out there in the woods. You have vocalizations on your list there.
Yeah.
I played the one from Bobo. What have you heard when you're
actually,
out in the
best I've heard was in Kentucky. I think it was 2 years ago. I was down there to that expedition I'm going to in April. And I think I got about 7 minutes of what I call it was a mad ape. He was mad, and there was a couple of us by the campfire, and their group came up with several groups, and we were in the valley, and I think we were in his way, and I found it really funny. The guy says, "Oh, let's go and chase him." I said, "That's okay. You got go ahead. I'm gonna watch the fire."
Yeah, you go chase him.
Well, it was big. I mean, that was like having a gorilla growling at you, and they could hold the breath for 2 minutes.
And do you think in your brain, like, what else could this pass? I mean,
well,
the skeptic in me.
I actually, you know,
is like,
I'm so far past
what else
that
could
point.
Make...
I'm so past. I know they exist. The big question in my mind is, what are they?
Right.
Are they simply a Bigfoot human cross? Are they paranormal or are they alien? That's the question.
Are they the missing link?
There's so many things, too, because a lot of locations, like, they'll have UFO reports, or you have ghost reports, where there's
several.
A lot of crossing of different paranormal.
I've seen an orb one time. Three of us saw it, right where Bigfoot. We got a lot of activity. You know, it's this big, and then turned off like a light. Now that's not swamp gas. It was over a lake.
With the invisible eyes.
Huh?
With the invisible eyes.
We could see it very clearly.
Okay.
I could have took a picture, but I thought it was a place that we've had a lot of Bigfoot activity. It was behind a barn. I went over to join the guys, and there I had time to take a picture.
Okay.
But they had been watching it for a minute, and then it just turned out.
What color was it?
Yeah, it was just like a real light, bright white. And they said a small one come up in the grass by them. So, you know, for me to discount paranormal, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But
you couldn't debunk it at the time.
Well, no way. There was no deck. I thought it was the guys on a deck. Well, it's a real shallow lake. There's no deck. It was out.
Yeah, what other light source could it be coming
from? Nothing. Couldn't have been. You know, then to be there and then disappear, you know.
There seems to be a correlation. You see UFOs, and then you get the sightings.
I've got Not very many, two or three where there was UFOs seen close by.
I think I know what planet they come from.
What planet is that?
It's where the Wookiees come from. It's Kashyyyk, it's called, I think, isn't it, Brandon?
I'm not a Star Wars.
You're not a Star Wars guy?
No.
Well, isn't that Chewie? Isn't he a big Bigfoot?
He was based on a Sasquatch, I believe.
Oh, that's what he looks like.
Chewbacca?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chewbacca. Yeah. He looks like he should be a Bigfoot. So that's where they come. That's what they come from. I think they might be some kind of missing link between, because where is the missing link? They never discovered one. It's missing. They don't have fossils of it.
No. Well, you raise a good question. You know, the biggest thing a lot of people say is they've never found a body, so they can't exist. And I think
my whole thing is, like, as people, we bury our dead, so why won't they bury their dead?
That's a possibility.
That's a good question.
But one of the first things, if you read or heard about John Green, he was one of the first researchers from British Columbia. I visited him 5 years ago, and he's passed away. He wrote the book, Apes Among Us. He said it's a no-brainer. They're cannibals.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
They're cannibals.
I'm thinking they eat everything.
They're cannibals.
The bones and everything.
Well,
even that, even if they die in the woods, too, like if you're way out in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't take long, even if it's not them eating it for the, like if you, like I've seen like ones like on Michigan Outdoors, where they have a time-lapse camera, they have a deer out and the dead deer out, and that thing's gone fast.
Then you put that together with a study of the Yowie. I read a book about the Yowie in Australia, and they claim that the Yowie has jaws strong enough to bite the bones right off. Mm-hmm. And then I put that together with a fellow from Higgins Lake who said he found a very large BM. It had a deer hoof in it.
Gross.
Think about that for a minute. A deer hoof in it.
Intact.
Intact. He should have saved it. He should have bagged it and tagged it. He didn't.
And DNA'd it.
Something. Yeah, whatever. He should have. He's had numerous. He claims he had one running with a wolf up there.
So there, no small mammal is going to ingest
a whole hoof.
No.
Absolutely.
Like, that's got to be a big.
So you take all those factors together. Very smart. But the American Indians said they were cannibals. Every tribe, if you read the book by Kathy Strain, who was an anthropologist from, I think she's from Washington State. She wrote the book, I always forget it, it's Monsters, Cannibals, and Other Beings or something like that.
Okay.
But she interviewed 57 different American Indian tribes, and they all said that they were cannibals.
Hmm.
My research says they're omnivorous. Like human beings, they eat fruit, berries, roots, fish, poultry, deer. They prefer elk, roadkill, and they drag women and children off and eat them.
Well, that's...
what's that true?
Nice.
If you look in the Nada National Parks, that's where people go missing.
really?
You met David Pilates, missing 411?
I haven't read it, but I know there's a lot of people that go missing in those national parks.
There's a retired federal investigator, and he primarily worked in national parks. He's written like 5 books of missing people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't come out and say it's Bigfoot, but it's certainly where Bigfoot should be. And it's almost always single people got ahead or behind the group off the track, a single person. And... for a while, the Cummins north of West Branch had the Bigfoot bash. I think it started with the idea of being a skeptical thing, but I went and told my stories. But that one year, there was a group from the American Indian Midwest, and I got their book, which somebody borrowed permanently, I guess, because I don't have any more. But I read the book, and one of the primary foodstuffs of American Indian in the Midwest was wild rice. Well, the women and the kids would take their canoes into the wild rice when it was ripe, shake the heads into the canoes. Well, in my opinion, they were going right into the living room of Bigfoot.
Exactly. Or dining room, you should say.
And I hate to tell you this, but I suspect women and children are better eating than old guys.
Right.
Than old guys
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah.
They're more tender than us.
Yeah. More tender than.
Right.
You guys are all grizzly and stuff.
Yeah, right. So
do you
put that all together, you know, there's why you don't see them.
Right.
That's why you don't have a body.
We didn't really do language enough justice yet. Do you have your own call that you do when you're out in the woods?
I've done very little calling. I don't know. Yeah. We usually got somebody along that loves to do it.
Oh, okay.
I haven't found it very useful. I'm intrigued with this idea, just sitting and playing music and maybe giving them some food.
Right.
We call it gifting.
Okay.
Gifting.
Well, honestly, right. I think that might be more effective because for my whole thing, like if you're going from the animal perspective, if you're doing the howling and the knocking,
yeah.
A lot of that, to me, that's marking your territory.
Oh, yeah.
So that might
right.
come. Absolutely. That might, if it's going to come, it's probably going to come
could,
to its
if,
end.
And they're going to hear you. If you play music, you could play some loud music so they know you're there, and they probably know you're there anyhow, but I'm intrigued by the idea of giving. They like blueberry bagels and peanut butter and eggs. You know, they like.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. You could be, you know, like doing a mating call or something.
Exactly. Right.
Or giving them the appetizer
like,
to yourself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Come and get it.
Right. Well, dinner bell.
Call. Yeah. I've turkey on it a little bit, and I got a nice box collar and. Apparently, I don't talk turkey very good because I'll do my call and then the turkeys go the other direction.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they get on to you, you know. If you don't do the call right, they're going the other direction.
Well, here's what happened with me, Phil. I did my turkey call and a coyote came.
Oh,
he thought he was going to get a turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yep. So let's go over this list of language. Whistle, knocks, Brandon hit on, growls, whoop howls.
Mm-hmm.
High pitched screams. I heard like a Tarzan or like a cow on steroids myself on some of these. But the samurai chatter.
Yeah.
That's the one that stands out in my mind.
Let's hear it.
I don't have the samurai chatter on my box. I do have some that I can play you.
I don't know if you can see our brochure. If you can see that. This is for the program in April. The guy with the cowboy hat on there was instrumental in recording the samurai chatter in the High Sierras in the 1970s.
Wow.
Yeah, they went up and this Tim Berry, who's passed away now, actually recorded the samurai chatter, Bigfoot talk.
So they describe it as two Bigfoots talking to each other, like two old men grumbling at each other.
Well, maybe. But
I mean, it's what the way they described it.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a couple more calls, though, I can play for
sure,
you.
Yeah, sure, do it.
This one. My bird chirping in there. That's the woman that won the competition over in New York State. That's a woman that did that one. The next one is Bobo on Conan O'Brien's show, I believe. That's Bobo on Conan O'Brien. You were talking about how they carry that note long. They got a long breath.
Bobo is a pretty stocky fellow.
So yeah, he's a big guy, Bobo, yeah. If you've ever seen
him.
He's
actually pretty thin now. He's lost.
Oh, he's lost. I think diabetes.
Here's the one that sounds like Tarzan to me. Because
mm-hmm.
It kind of echoes, and they're doing it out in the woods.
Yeah.
That was Bobo.
Yep. Yeah. But you look at the physiology of a male Bigfoot, if they're, in fact, 8 foot tall and weigh 800 pounds, that's almost exactly four times the average size of a human male, which is maybe 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And we got 2 liters of air.
Yeah.
That would give them 8 liters of air in their lungs.
That has to be terrifying.
I suspect, well, it was for me.
Yeah,
in
right.
Kentucky.
Yeah, you didn't want to go chase it.
You guys go ahead.
Yeah,
I'll watch the fire.
That's right. I'll keep the fire going.
Like
let
that
me know.
Fire's going to keep you safe.
Well, but they don't like fire. You know, you can get on the opposite side of the fire.
If he's hungry, he's going to come get you no matter what.
I think you were just mad because we were in his way.
I tell you what I compare it to. When I'm at the zoo and the lion roars.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It echoes all through the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine that echoing through the woods.
Oh, yeah.
That must just travel for miles.
Actually, the interesting part is we think that they have also what is called infrasound. That is a sound that most of your large animals have. Elephants, lions, hippopotamus. They, because of their large vocal tract, they actually can make noise way below what we can hear.
Okay.
Oh, no kidding.
Kind of like dolphins, kind of.
Yeah, dolphins have it.
With each other, yeah.
But if you get zapped, they call it being zapped, if a Bigfoot zaps you, it can knock you right down. And you can have long-term effects from
what do you mean, like
from sound?
It's called zap, but it's a low frequency. It affects your psyche.
Like we can't hear it, like a dog whistle?
We can't hear it, but it really upsets your, yeah, it really upsets you. In fact, I'm not so sure it's not the same thing that the Cubans have done to some of our embassy people there a couple of years ago.
Hmm.
And, you know, I think they're playing with sounds in some of the military where they can do the low frequency and they can upset your apple cart, you might say.
Right.
Seriously.
Like mentally, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Physiology, you throw up, fall. The one guy I know, he's from Ann Arbor, he said his friend fell right to the ground. He just knocked him right down. And the other guy wasn't affected.
Hmm.
Yeah, there are people that tend to affect it differently. Like, even like yeah. that, there's people around the world, like not Bigfoot, but they can hear a certain sound waves and yeah. stuff like that, and it will affect them and make them sick.
Typically,
whereas
dog,
other people
right.
are oblivious.
Typically, dogs can hear these sounds, and that's why they'll hear something way before we do.
Right, right, right.
Because they're hearing maybe a different range of sound.
I read that dogs are terrified.
Oh yeah.
Of Bigfoot.
Typically, yeah, yep.
That's a little bit odd to me because you know they breed dogs to hunt bear, and them. Them dogs
actually,
are not afraid of bear whatsoever. They treat the bear.
Actually, the most dog in jeopardy is an aggressive breed that will chase them because Bigfoot's big enough, pick them up, throw them against the tree, and then
sure.
rip their legs off.
Yeah.
But
it's no match.
But no, yeah. But a small dog that gets behind you, he's okay.
Right.
You take care of it, master. I'm right here.
Right.
But a big, aggressive German Shepherd would get torn to bits in
yeah,
a minute.
Be lunch. I've heard some stories
well,
about...
Well, truthfully, it's probably the small dog that's going to be more aggressive towards it because typically small dogs are...
Feisty.
They don't know
the
better
terrier,
some of the
yeah.
breeds.
I was sitting out one time there
spent
yeah. with a friend, and we heard a terrier bark, bark, bark.
Mm-hmm.
We also heard coyotes.
Yeah.
And then the terrier quit barking.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to him.
Yeah.
But coyotes, you know, you take a group of them, a small dog has no chance.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, around cities, small animals. We have such a population of coyotes.
Right. Just people don't realize that there's no competition for
no.
those predators.
3 or 4 years ago, we visited our son. He lives on the northern edge of Columbus. 2 million people. It was getting dusk. Coyote ran across the road right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I live in town, too. I live in Holland.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. So we live in a condo association.
There's places for them to hide. They'll
and we have a
out.
Pond in the back.
Yeah.
When it freezes over, you'll
sure.
see those coyotes. They'll just walk
Oh, you will.
They're walking all over the ice. And
you take around the boggy area, you know, they could crawl yeah. in there and hide so easy.
Unfortunately, a lot of the sightings go unreported. It's
Absolutely.
Kind of like seeing a UFO or a ghost.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't want to be the one that gets ridiculed because
right.
you're the one that saw it and you're crazy.
Right.
I know it happened to you too, right, Phil?
I am ridiculed. People have been pretty nice to me, but I can tell with a look on their face that they think I'm nuts.
Yeah. Well, we're having some fun with it, you know.
Well,
we loaded this
to
up to have some fun
with it. It's just been a great
hobby.
You know, I just turned 77 this week and I'm doing fine. But
you're looking good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But most of my friends, most of my family
yep.
think I'm out on the limb.
Oh, yeah. You're out there.
Well, you're in good company with us.
Yeah.
Tell you
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you guys fit right in.
Oh,
yeah. I just love to talk
We're
to people.
We're all weirdos
about,
here.
Oh,
so, yeah,
yeah. Right, right.
I know hunters report a lot of Bigfoot sightings. I read this story about the guy in Texas with hunting pigs. And then the Bigfoot grabbed one of those pigs.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I read that
grabbed
story.
One of those pigs, and then he let out a howl, and then he heard another howl answer him. So they were talking to each other.
Like
he said, I got
dinner
lunch.
Served.
Right. Well, the
yeah.
story I had was the guy got up in his tree stand. He'd been baiting the hogs. It might be a different story.
That sounds might
and,
be.
And then
bad.
It got light, and he looked, and there's a Bigfoot sitting in a tree over there. And then the hogs come in, and that Bigfoot went down the tree, snuck from tree to tree. And then it ran over, grabbed a hog, hit him on the head, whether he knocked him out or killed him, threw it over his shoulder, and then he looked back at the guy and says, I was here first.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't say that.
No, I understand.
He could tell by the look in his
yeah,
eye.
Yeah.
Like, I teach you.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I read that report,
so,
too,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So are sightings the most compelling evidence? What is the the best thing that's come forward?
I personally, you know, Dr. Meldrum from Idaho has collected over 300 footprint casts. I think that probably is the most compelling. But the thing in Michigan, we have so much rain. I've only seen, and I got pictures of six or eight different footprints. Some of them pretty good. But if you look at our line, you know, we get 25 inches of rain a year, and typically a typical week we'll get an inch of rain. Well, you don't leave prints in the woods. You know, mm-hmm. I've looked at it time and again. Even a two-track where 1,000 trucks has been down, that ground is so hard you can't hardly dent it with your heel. They have to stand on the middle of the track or on the side.
Yeah.
But we're talking a very smart animal here that won't do that. So, you know, you don't find many footprints.
I saw the picture of the Yeti footprint where they had the pickaxe sitting next to it so you could try to get it.
That had two big toes?
The toes didn't really stand out too much.
I thought it showed that they had two large toes, a little variation. I do think they they can vary. The warmer climates are more likely to be smaller, and the cold climates they're bigger.
Yeah. They got to build up the.
Oh, I got to have a mass to survive. Survive.
Yep.
So sightings go back centuries. They're worldwide. Every culture, every continent, except Antarctica.
Yep.
They don't like that cold, I guess. Who does, right?
Who's down in Antarctica? It's like having to have the people down there to see it.
Right, nobody there. Good point. No one to witness it, right?
Yeah. Nobody would know.
Around Michigan, we've had sightings here in Grand Rapids, Kent County, Ottawa County, Muskegon, Allegan, Barry, Ionia, Jackson County. Traverse City seems to be in the western part of the UP, kind of a hot spot. But Oscoda County, is that where you're from?
Oscoda, just north of us.
Okay.
But the Osabo River runs right through there. And, you know, I again, big rivers, I think, are a real good habitat. They love fish, and they can hide. And if my theory, the wild man of Europe,
right.
You know, they could go up underneath the bank, and you'd never know they're there.
Well, Sheboygan and the Black River and West Branch, the Rifle River.
Rifle River.
West Branch is where you're from.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're right in the right place. Now, why did you do that? You gravitated there to hunt?
Actually, I went there for my job. I worked for USDA for 26 years, and we were sort of afraid they were going to send me to the UP, and we didn't want to go there.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So an opening there at West Branch, and West Branch is sort of on the line between snow and no snow.
Yeah.
I like snow and ice. In fact, I went ice fishing last Saturday. We had over a foot of ice. Took my grandkids.
Wow.
Never caught a fish, but we did. Oh, yeah. We tried.
So much for that ice fishing.
But anyhow, it's far enough north to enjoy the north. And my wife's in Battle Creek, and I'm from Greenville, Stanton, Sheridan area.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But we just liked that part of the country and stayed.
Yep. China, Russia, Himalayan mountain range. You talked about a Class A sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Class A, B, and C? I know we have a Class A, B, and C.
For like EVPs.
EVPs. Stuff, yeah. Now, what is a Class A sighting?
I think, the classification the BFRO has done is if it's a good sighting, it would be Class A. Class B would be more maybe of a stick structure or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Or a vocalization. Yeah, half of the, I've documented about 120 incidents around West Branch, and about half of them are actual sightings. But I keep track of vocalizations, structures, footprints, and like that. You know, I think that, to me, that stuff is almost less subjective than a sighting. Because sightings, did you see a bear?
Yeah.
You know.
Or some guy dressed up in a
bingo.
Suit.
Which is a stupid thing to do in
it
Michigan.
Is stupid.
With all the guns we got. That's a
and
stupid.
And you know somebody's going to be out there like, oh, I got a chance to get a Bigfoot and be famous.
Oh,
I'm going
to
shoot this.
Exactly,
you
right?
Totally. Anybody that would do that is really bonkers.
Yeah, even in a murder case or whatever, if it's that someone sees it and then someone else sees it differently. Those eyewitness reports can vary and be very inaccurate.
Right.
So like you said, something like that you have where you can get a casting.
Yeah.
Yep, well, especially if you're in a case there too where you think it is a Bigfoot and you're seeing it, you're probably panicking and you're not, I mean, for the most part, most people's going to be fight or flight. So most people are going to be booking it out of there. So
usually the Bigfoot goes one way and the human goes the other because they're both terrified of each other. The Bigfoot doesn't want to be seen.
Because this is going to be our final thought. We always do a final thought. But before we do that, we want to do our promos. Because we are actually getting late into the hour.
Okay.
So, does Brandon have anything? We'll start with him. Anything you want to?
Just the Kent County Paranormal Podcast. Right now, we're kind of still in the middle of booking guests just because of, like, the producer kind of change over here. We're kind of wanted to wait to book guests so I kind of knew what was going on. So.
Yeah, Brandon does the Spirit's Doorway. He does another paranormal podcast through WKTV here. Mm-hmm. And then we have some stuff coming up.
Yeah, so 2 weeks from tonight will be Rick Wade, seer and author. So he'll be talking about his abilities, psychic abilities and so forth. And then April, we will be seeing again Sarah and Mary Bassett. When we had them on before, we kind of felt like we only got the tip of the iceberg with those two, right?
There's so much stuff,
So, and
that
then...
Paranormal XL for...
Yes.
Just as a reminder.
Yeah, there's... And then 2 weeks after that, in April, Shatan Noir.
Right. I think Shatan, maybe we should just call her Shatan, you know, kind of like one word.
Like Cher.
Yeah, like Cher.
I know.
Right. But these are the two books
that I'm almost done
Rick
with the
Wade
second
authored.
One. Yeah.
So we're doing that like in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We like to do different stuff, but you are the first Bigfoot guy. We anticipated this. It's been very exciting. Now you have some stuff that you want to promo, and this is why you're here.
Yeah, we got this conference coming up in April, and we got three really good speakers, actually. The picture here is from a gal from Tennessee. The grandparent had actually habituated a family of Bigfoot 50 years ago, and so she wrote the book, 50 Years of Bigfoot. She's coming. The second one is the Sierra Sounds. The third one, the guy is from Pennsylvania, and he's documented over 250 incidents in that area. But you can buy tickets online.
That's at West Branch, right?
It's at West Branch. $25 is the entrance fee. It's all day on a Saturday, April 18th. And the website, wbbfcom.ticketleap.com is the place to go to buy tickets. But we're going to have a good program.
Yeah, check that out. I mean, it's the other side of the state, but for people in that area are... Maybe even Brandon. Brandon's really into this.
I've driven all the way to Oklahoma.
Some of my car is dead.
I've driven all the way to Oklahoma to do, you know, conference stuff.
Right.
So people will drive, you know, and stay.
Yeah.
You can always camp in the woods if you want.
What is this free expedition? What's that?
Yeah, we got several people signed up. We got a real active area to the east. Actually, I don't want to give you a location.
Right.
But anybody that's interested, they give me their email.
Yeah.
Usually in conjunction, we'll come to the conference, and they can come, and we'll divide up and go out and sit and listen and look.
Cool.
But they provide their own food and their own camping.
So is it an overnight thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we're gonna be set up for 3 nights.
Wow.
How many expeditions have you been on already?
Oh shoot! I've probably lost count. 20 maybe.
Holy.
20, 30. But I've been to, you know, like Oklahoma, Ohio. I've been to Kentucky 3 times. Going again in April. But I've been to a bunch of conferences too. I've been to 3 BFRO expeditions.
Expedition, but you got another one coming up in like a month or two. Is that what you said? But you don't want to tell us where.
Well, this one's in conjunction with our conference.
Oh, okay. But I thought there was another one that you were going to.
Oh, I'm also doing a program in Houghton Lake the Houghton Lake next week, actually, next Thursday, 5 to 7, and that's free.
Okay.
I'm actually talking about my 10 reasons Bigfoot exists.
Oh, yeah. And you've done presentations.
Oh, I've
quite a few
probably 40, 50 at least.
Yeah.
But I've got it all on PowerPoint so I can, you know, it's a amazing stuff.
Yeah. Do you mind if we share this website with people?
Oh, fine,
so
fine.
Is this a way that they
sure.
can make,
sure.
you know, contact you for sightings
yeah.
and so forth?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's HTTPS and then all together, no spaces, write this down. Bigfoot Discovery Days, DaysMI dot Weebly,
no,
Weebly dot com.
Right.
So,
yeah, check
actually,
that out.
And actually, the sightings like that will refer to my YouTube account, which is simply Phil O News One. Phil O News One.
Okay.
And I got a whole bunch of. I've got the listing of the incidents, but I also have. Put some of my interviews with witnesses there.
Okay, and people can look that up on
YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's finish the promo off with that. Yeah. I want to say about Rick Wade. He's got this ghost hunt reading that's going to be in Allegan Old Hospital. It's the Elks Lodge, and it's March 27th, 9 p.m. So a couple days after he's on our show, he's going to do this reading and ghost hunt.
Yeah.
Then we never really did a review. We kind of skipped over that from our last people we had in because we always do a review, but we wanted to get into the show right away. But Molly and Esther Joy were here. We talked about crystals. They left me a couple gifts because they're trying to get on my good side. So they are like my, I have two favorite guests now or three. They left me this fossil. Have you ever seen one of these?
Oh.
Phil? It's a fossil. It's 400 million years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's
cephalopod like a squid?
Fossil. Yeah,
squid?
Like a squid type of a creature. Orthoceras fossil. And they left me ore that was mined right here in Michigan.
Oh, is that
that's copper ore that was
yeah.
mined right here. It,
wow.
These both have... Yeah,
most
right.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of them caves are from
yeah.
digging, right?
Oh, yeah.
From digging all that copper out. So thanks to those girls. It was crazy. We talked about crystals. They said there's a Indian Mounds Rock Mineral Show coming at Rogers Plaza, which is right down the street, April 9th through 11th. So thanks for them. Appreciate them being on the show. So that's a review. We want to get into the final thought. And my final thought is... You're in the woods. You're walking through the woods.
Here we go.
All of a sudden, you're face to face with the Bigfoot. So how do you respond to that? How do you act? This is what we do this at the end of the show. So we get everybody involved. Here you are, Brandon. You're walking down the trail.
I think I'd probably be frozen in awe and like, okay, what do I do now? That's probably where I would be at, I think.
Well, if you come up to a bear, aren't you supposed to play dead?
I think there's
that is not
right.
You don't want to actually do that.
Make yourself as big as you can with the bear. And
so I have two choices. I can either play dead.
Also, with the bear, you don't want to climb a tree because they can climb trees.
Well, apparently Sasquatch can climb a tree too. So that's no good.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they're a faster runner than me.
You're right.
So I'm pretty much screwed no matter what I do. I might as well just run.
Actually, I would recommend you stand your ground and say, hi, mm-hmm. how you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd like to think.
You're right, I know.
But I'm not too sure that would happen, particularly if you're being zapped or if they're looking mean. You know, mm-hmm. they do come in variety, and some of them can be hungry.
Right.
Yeah, that's
one thing.
That's kind of my criteria. If it's hungry or if it looks sick, foaming at the mouth,
right.
that can be very dangerous. Or if it has a little one nearby.
Oh,
those
yeah.
three things will get you in
actually,
trouble.
Actually, it's chances. I think that the females are much like humans. They're going to run like heck to get out of your sight. They're not going to confront you.
Or protect
you.
Their young.
The,
right.
the ones that are going to confront you are the, if any at all, and they usually don't, is the males. I think they're so human that they're much like, 90% of the sightings are males.
Mm-hmm.
Males are wanderers.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to a flying club, and we got one woman, and I'm not sure she's ever gotten a plane.
Oh.
Nothing
oh, yeah.
against women, but,
right.
men are got to be on the edge, you know.
Yeah. Phil Shaw is also a pilot.
Yeah, so.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. So, we talked about that a little bit. Yeah. That's pretty much the show, but I want to do a shout out. We're not going to do as many as we usually do because our hour is really up. And this one is I came across this because they put our podcast on Spotify and Apple. I don't know if you knew that, Kim.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I came across this 5-star review.
What?
This really warmed my heart. You're going to love this.
I love it.
I'm going to read this.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this podcast. Well, first they go, more please.
Oh.
It's customer, more please. They said, I really enjoyed this podcast. All the members are so very likable, which is great. I look forward to hearing about more haunting experiences and even have this podcast marked to download new episodes always. This is the first podcast I have ever bothered to write a review and rate, as I never much listened to podcasts until I heard about this one on the news. I hope I have given you all justice. Also, a side note, but still valid, it is really very cool to hear about GR locals instead of more New York City and LA name drops. Please keep it coming. So shout out to Bohemian Kimmy.
What? I
love Bohemian
it.
Bohemian Kimmy. What a great, it's a 5-star review for us.
One. Thank you.
So, right. Like I say, that's the show. I got some things coming up. I didn't get the plug, but I am going to be doing some work with Preacher Man. We have a...
Oh, you are?
Yes. We had a demonologist.
Are you doing some cleansings?
This is a very serious case. This is the demonologist, Beverly Fish, who was on the show last year, has passed this on to me.
Okay.
So we're going to go over to Battle Creek for that.
When is that happening?
Well, I haven't really set a date on that yet.
Are we going to do a show on that then after you're done? Or don't you know?
Well, being a private case, I don't really know if I'll be able to do that.
Okay. We don't want to get people excited. You're talking about it, but...
Well, yeah, I'm talking about it because, I think it's important work, what we're doing, because these people, they don't know what to do. They're extremely distraught. You know, their whole life has been disrupted by these things that are, they don't know enough about to even fight it.
Right.
I think I forgot something here on my notes.
Well, and that's the whole thing, too, is like really like asking for prayers. Because I'm like with our team, we're having a lot of those darker cases. We've had people contacting us with, too. So right now, I'd say like a lot of prayers. I think there's going to be some battles going down.
Yeah,
it could be in the air, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's in the air right now.
Well, that's where your crystals are going to come into play right there.
Yeah, I'm going to use some of those. This is a quote I came across in Facebook. It says, the devil whispered in my ear, you're not strong enough to withstand the storm. Today, I whispered in the devil's ear, I am a child of God, a warrior of Christ. I am the storm. So the storm's coming to Battle Creek, but Phil Shaw, thanks for driving across Michigan and joining us talking Bigfoot.
Enjoy talking.
What a great show. So be the storm. Peace out.